back in Matthew 25, but we're starting off at verse 14. We'll go verse 14 through 31. And this one's actually a little bit on the long side. I'm going to read this one, just so I can kind of move somewhat quickly through it. Pay attention, please. We'll go back and, you know, we'll catch the pieces and all. But it's a little longer than some of the other ones have been recently. So, Jesus said, "For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to invest my money with the bankers, and at coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will be given more, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant out of the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth.'" Okay. All right. So, let's start back at the beginning, and I did make reference of this in the sermon, but just, you know, kind of offhandedly, and we sort of pushed through it very quickly. This is a time where we can both ask questions and we can dig deeper. We can look at specific things, we can bring up issues that didn't come up. Let's start. This is, again, another parable. Parables have a point. Jesus is telling a story. But we kind of need to take it at face value. Parables can get pushed too far when you try to extrapolate too much meaning that's not there. So the easiest thing to do is just kind of take what he says, understanding that these are sermon illustrations based off stuff that people would understand. He's using events or circumstances that people could identify with. And then that's going to have a point. So let's start off in that first verse, verse 14. What do you note in verse 14?
Master's gone on a journey.
Okay, the master has gone on a journey. So what does he do in preparation for being gone?
Calls the servants together.
Nice, 3 servants.
Okay, and he gives them property. So if you're going to be gone for a long time, how might you get ready for that? That involves other people.
Ask somebody to watch your house.
Ask somebody to watch the house. You might give a key. Pets. You know, the dog needs to be walked. The cat needs food. Water my plants. Whatever. So we don't have to be a master in charge of lots of possessions, but we still understand that when you're going to be gone for a while, you kind of count on people that you can ask to do these things. Now, who might you ask to do, you know, feed your cat or to walk your dog?
A neighbor.
A friend. Relative, family member. Would you have a different expectation in follow through between a neighbor and a relative?
Yes. I think so.
I mean, now maybe the neighbor's like your best friend or something. But by and large, this is a favor. Right? You know, I would appreciate it if you did this. And that usually comes with a sense of
responsibility.
Responsibility, but I would also say reciprocity. Like, Well, when you go out of town, feel free to ask me. And I, you know, we, that's what we do. We help each other out. So I've got a need, but next time it could be you. Now, the folks who are given stuff are not neighbors and not friends and not family members. What are they?
Servants.
They're servants. So they're either slaves or they're employees. So what's the expectation that they do what they've been told?
They do what they've been told.
Yeah, this is like 100%. This is not a neighbor, it's not a friend, it's not a family member. This is someone, this is their job. Your job is to take care of this stuff. Now, before we get too far into it, there's something that I think is worth noting. Let's look at verse 14 one more time. For it will be as when a man going on a journey calls his servants. What is it? For it will be. What is Jesus saying? It is. It's not a trick question, but it's an acknowledgement that this. He's like telling a bunch of stories in a row. And so this is just story number two. And if we don't automatically know what it is, look back at the beginning of the chapter and see what story number one is referring to. The kingdom of heaven. So, just so we're real clear, it means the kingdom of heaven. Remember what we did last week, and we had the bridegroom was coming, and you had wise virgins who brought oil for their lamps and foolish ones who did not. But that's all making a point about the kingdom of heaven. What was the point in the kingdom of heaven about the virgins, foolish and wise?
Be prepared.
To be prepared. How is the kingdom of heaven like this bridegroom story?
Be prepared.
Well, we need to be prepared, but how's the kingdom of heaven related?
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration. And what about the timing of the coming of the kingdom of heaven?
You don't know.
It's unknown.
Yeah.
We know it's coming. The bridegroom is on the way. There's going to be a wedding. So we're not debating whether or not the bridegroom exists. We know there's a wedding. But we don't know when this guy's arriving. And what happens when he is on the way?
We should be prepared.
We should be prepared. Something happens and he's delayed. And so we should be prepared because we just don't know. Stuff happens in life, and things sometimes take longer than we expect, or longer than we plan, or longer than we want. So be prepared one way or the other. So if we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, that first story is about the kingdom of heaven is going to come at kind of an unexpected time. And we ought to be prepared. So now we're at a different story, a different parable. But what's Jesus talking about again? It's the it in the story. The kingdom of heaven still. But this time, rather than a bridegroom who's coming at an unknown time, what is the kingdom of heaven in this illustration? Okay. So, we've got a guy who is leaving. And before he leaves, he puts his affairs in order. And he gives out responsibilities. What kind of responsibilities is he giving out to these servants?
Manage his property.
Mm-hmm. Manage the property. Now, in the version, the scriptural version that we read in the service gives a slightly different definition of what he gives them than the one that we're reading right now. This is the RSV versus the NIV, and it's not particularly significant. But the NIV is trying to make it as simple as possible when it talks about bags of gold. Five bags of gold, two bags of gold, one bag of gold. What is this one?
Talents.
Talents. Now, anybody happen to know what a talent is?
Measure of money.
Okay, it's a measure of money by weight. Okay. So, is it a lot or a little?
It's a
lot. A talent... of whatever this is, gold, silver, something precious, is by weight a ton of money. This is a lot of money. This is not pocket change. Does your Bible give any notes on that?
So that was more than 15 years' wages of a laborer.
Yeah, right. So it's more than these guys would see in 15 years. One talent was more than 15 years' worth of work. So how much did the first servant get?
Five.
75 years. It's basically a lifetime's wages. What does the second guy get?
Two.
What does the third guy get?
One.
Okay, so they're all given different amounts, but each of these amounts is enough to get your attention. You know, if somebody says, watch $5 for me, what do you do with it?
Put it
in your wallet, whatever. If somebody gives you $250,000, what do you do with it? You don't put it in your wallet and walk around with like the check or whatever. I mean, it's a whole different ball game of what it will take to manage that kind of thing. So, why does the master give different amounts to different servants?
It is according to his ability.
Aha! So, that's an interesting phrase, and it's specific. So, we don't have to guess. You could, I wonder why one got more, one got, was it a test? Was it? It says, this master knows what each of his servants should be capable of. Now, pie speculation, how does he know that? If you work with someone for many years, do you get a pretty decent idea of what they're capable of? Mm. Yeah. So, again, pie speculation. Why might there be a difference between, say, the five-talent guy and the one-talent guy? Just guess.
Experience.
Could be experience. One guy could have been around for a lot longer.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah, there could be something about one servant that's just kind of... It could be in an ability sense, like, oh, he's just a really great money manager. Or it could just be in a trustworthy sense. I've known him longer. He's just sort of a good guy. He's a loyal man. Whatever it is. And we don't know. But we do know that the master knows. The master knows what each is capable of, and so he gives them a job based off of that. All right? So, what do the master goes away. What do the servants do with this money they've been entrusted with?
Right away, they start investing.
Okay. So, who invests what?
Maybe 5. Talents invested in the others to arrive
well, yeah.
Okay. Now, we don't get any knowledge about the type of investment or the risk of the investment. You can go off into a rabbit hole trying to come up with details that are not present. But ultimately, what we do know is that the first two invest. And they put that money to work. What does the third one do?
Get it away.
He just buries it. He buries it. I was given one talent, and by golly, he will get one talent back. And is there anything that we can think of that would be safer than burying it? Well, I mean, in the sense of, can a bank lose money?
Yes.
Sure. Can a bank go out of business? Yeah. But if you bury it, it's...
Except
for
the big bank.
Safe and secure. Too big to fail. Safe and secure. So one of them buries it. Now, how long was the master gone?
A long time.
That's all it says. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So, We don't know what a long time is. We can guess. Years, decades, no idea. No idea. But it was a long time. What else do we know about how long he's gone?
They had time to invest.
They did have time to invest. It was long enough for that, for sure. Anything else? I don't think so. I think that's pretty much all we know. It's a long time. It seems vague, and maybe purposefully so. So let's stop and keep track of this being an illustration about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? How can we connect this back to the kingdom of heaven real quick? Who's the master of the kingdom of heaven?
The owner.
Okay, God is the master. Who are the servants?
The people who we invest in.
Yeah, people. We are.
We
you
are.
Know.
Yeah.
And what are these talents we are entrusted with?
Yes. What we learn, abilities.
Okay. And it's funny that, you know, this word talent, we almost instantly think of abilities. And it is actually intended to be a measurement. But there's a reason why, even now, we talk about a talent being like a musical ability or something like that. And it comes in large part back to this story. Because we have been entrusted with something precious by God. And some of these things might be abilities and skills. What else could they be? What else is a precious gift given to you by God?
Life.
Natural talent.
Talent.
Family.
Anything that we have, ultimately, where does it come from? It comes from God. So, we can consider what we have been given as being entrusted with something precious by the person it actually belongs to. These servants, this money does not belong to them. Belongs to who?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we've been given doesn't really belong to us. Who's it belong to?
It's on loan.
It's on loan. But I would say even more than that, we're entrusted with it. And I think that's an important term. To be entrusted with something means I trust you to do well by this. I'm going to give you this thing to look after and do good. So we're stewards, we're servants, we have been given this responsibility to take these blessings and act in a trustworthy manner. So far so good, we're making the connection. And what does it mean for the master to come after a long time? About the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean?
It comes about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there now.
Okay.
You don't know when. I mean, it still goes back to...
We don't know. It's never.
Right. Yeah, kind of connecting to that last parable about the foolish and wise virgins, that the coming of Christ and the settling of accounts. I mean, that's what happened. The master's gone for a long time. When he gets here, he settles accounts. How do we take that? How do we take settling accounts?
Judgment.
Mm-hmm. Judgment. So, on judgment day, when is it going to be?
We don't know.
In a long time. Yeah. What is a long time?
We don't know.
But it's going to happen. So, judgment day is here, and let's get back to the story. Who is the first servant taken into account?
The one who got the most.
Yeah.
The one that got the most. And why did he get the most?
Because he has the
most ability.
The most ability. Okay? So, this guy who was given 5 talents, what is his report?
He doubled his money.
And here it is. Okay? What kind of return is the doubling of your investment?
100%.
Super. Yeah! I think any of us would be happy if any of our investments doubled. So, what is the response to the doubling of this investment.
You said he did good.
He would be rewarded.
Yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, I want to take a look at that for a second, because the well done, good and faithful servant part, I think we can all catch. Why does he say, because you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much? What does that mean?
I trust you more.
I trust you more. I think it is, I think this is kind of a, for us at least, it ought to be kind of a provocative, interesting statement. Remember, how much did this guy get entrusted with? 5 talents. 75 years, a lifetime's worth of wages. And how does the master describe a lifetime's worth of wages?
Little.
As a little. What does that imply?
There's
something even better out there. There is more than, you know, the a lifetime's achievement of good and hard work. That the rewards of the master make a lifetime's earnings look like a little. So already that ought to kind of, whoa, how much does this guy really have? So very interesting. So, but his proving faithful with his earthly talents, he will then be rewarded with far more maybe than he can even imagine. What about guy number two? Same thing? Same thing. So we can apply exactly what we said to that guy too, other than the fact that how much did he have in relation to the first guy?
2 talents.
2 talents versus 5, which implies that guy could handle 2 talents instead of 5. Sounds like the master really did know his stuff. He said, you're good for 2, you're good for 5, and you were. Right? Now, what does he call the 2 talents?
An achievement.
Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over what? How much?
Whoa.
A little. He makes no distinction between 2 and 5.
Right.
Both of them are considered just a small amount, but both have now earned far more. So much more that even 30 years worth of work will seem like just a little bit. Last guy. What happens here?
He's shamed. He didn't do anything with the money.
He buried it.
He buried it.
Now you're right about what he did. I'm not sure you're right about how he feels, at least initially.
He's
afraid of the master.
Yeah,
he says he's a hard man.
I don't think he sounds ashamed, at least not in the beginning. So let's look at it. We're in verse 24. He who also received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not know. So I was afraid, I went and I hid your talent on the ground. Here you have what is yours. I don't hear shame in that.
A little arrogant.
Yeah, judgmental.
Judgmental.
There could be some arrogance or judgmental about the nature of the master, that this guy's kind of, he's got sort of a...
I know how you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's like unsolicited advice about your personal nature. But I think he's pleased with himself. I think he thought he did good.
Yeah.
Now, presumably, he's watched these other 2 guys get rewarded. What might this guy be thinking? I didn't lose anything. Have I done something bad or done something good? In his mind, I think he assumes he has done right. Why does he think he has done right?
Didn't lose anything.
Because I didn't lose anything.
You kept it safe.
I kept it safe. This guy's a hard man.
He's afraid of the master.
He's afraid because this guy is, he, you know, stuff that even isn't his, he claims as his own. And I don't want to mess with a guy like that. So I'm going to play it safe. How safe does he play it? Probably as safe as possible.
Yeah.
So he probably thinks he's going to get a pat on the back. I mean, maybe not what the other guys got, because he's not bringing back this big reward. But he didn't do bad. Didn't lose a dime. But what's the master's response?
He didn't lose it.
Yeah, it's bad news. It's bad news. He gets kicked out. The one talent he had, he didn't get that. That gets taken and given to the other guy who's done really well with a lot. He's being cast out into the darkness, gnashing of teeth and weeping and all that kind of stuff. But let's look back at verse 26 and let's get the initial description of how the master describes this servant.
Wicked lady.
Wicked and slothful. So wicked to us means what?
Evil.
Evil. Not just mistaken, you foolish or you dumb servant. That's one thing. But this is wicked. Yeah, there's maybe malice involved, but it's wrong. It's bad. And slothful. What is slothful?
Lazy.
Now, in the list of deadly sins, sloth might not feel fair. Oh, you know, you're just kind of slow. How is that so terrible? It's not like you're angry and murdering someone. But the actual concept of sloth or acedia is basically like when you know you're supposed to do something and you overtly refuse to do it. That sort of slothfulness is not just, oh, I'm just sleepy or I just move real slow. It is, you have a task and you have purposely said, meh, no thanks, not going to do it. Just not going to do it. I would prefer to sit here and put my feet up. So, why so hard on this guy?
Because he didn't learn anything.
He didn't learn a thing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Didn't make an attempt.
I think that's maybe the biggest part. So he says, you knew I was a hard man. You knew there was going to be judgment. And then you didn't even try. Now, we don't know what these guys' normal jobs were. Okay. But if you were entrusted with 15 years worth of money, how many other jobs do you think you were given?
Oh, a lot. For 15 people.
Well, I mean, if you're given that amount of money, here's, you know, the quarter of $1 million that I need you to look after while I'm gone. What other jobs are you given with that much money to look after?
Not much.
That might be his only job. That might be his only job. Here's $250,000. I'm looking at you. Focus. You know, this is probably not the guy who was out there, you know, cleaning out the chicken coop. Because he's got this very, very heavy, very large responsibility. So the master's been gone for a long time. What has this guy done?
Nothing.
He has, quite literally, he has done nothing. If this was his only job, he buried it. These other guys were working. You know, to invest for that long, it's not that they just gave it somewhere and they twiddled their thumbs. They've been working this. But to bury it, and the master's gone for a long time, it means it's been underground for a long time. What else has this guy been doing? Let's say the master's been gone for 20 years. What's the guy been doing for 20 years?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, suddenly, wicked and slothful, you have been drawing a paycheck from me, and you have done nothing. You have done nothing. And it suddenly, I think, puts a little sharper point to how much this guy has failed. Okay? So it's connected to the kingdom of heaven. How is this guy's negative example connected to the kingdom of heaven?
I won't get much reward for that.
You won't get much reward.
He's a Sunday Christian.
He's a Sunday Christian.
Comes to church on Sunday and forget it the rest of the week.
I'm not even sure he's that. And here's the thing. This sounds mean, okay? I get that. Oh, this guy, I mean, all he did was sit on the talent and he's getting yelled at and thrown out. But remember, this was his job. For however long, again, let's say for 20 years, you did absolutely nothing. Not only did you not invest what you were entrusted with, you didn't even watch it. You put it in a hole in the ground. What have you been doing with the last 20 years? Eating bonbons?
Sure.
Yeah. Connecting you to the kingdom of heaven to be entrusted with a life, family, friends, money, ability, talents. We talk about, you know, don't bury your talents, but give them to the glory of God and try to invest them. But I'm not sure this guy would even qualify as a Sunday Christian. I think you've been blessed with life and gifts and abilities and skills, and you won't even acknowledge the Master exists. You won't even do the barest minimum of serving the Master. And maybe these are the people who take what they've been given and just can't be bothered with God at all. And if there's a God out there and he's going to call me to judgment or whatever, at least I'm not going to screw things up. I can say I never murdered anybody. I never tortured anyone. Yeah, but what did you do with your life? Zero positive, zero right, and zero for him. So these parables can come across kind of hard and kind of tough. But when we poke at them at least a little bit, can we see maybe a little more sensibility in the judgment of the Master? So like the virgins, be prepared. And like the better stewards, you have been entrusted with something that God knows you can handle. Even the guy with one talent, God knew he could handle one talent, and he refused to do it. Do not refuse to do it. Do your best even if you screw it up. But if you've been given a job to use what you have been granted by God, then do it. Don't be called to account and say, I thought about it, and I just didn't. All right, we good? Thank you.